Let's turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 6. There was a hymn we sung there, 368 I think it was. No, it wasn't 368. What was the other one we sang? Anyhow. Book of Judges. I've preached this message a few times now. And Joshua, helps if I turn the right way in my Bible, find Judges. Judges chapter 6, we're going to be starting in verse 36. I'm going to try and change the message a little bit to how I normally preach it, so hopefully, or that I have preached it in the past. So hopefully I won't get mixed up. But let's start. Judges 6:36. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here this evening. Pray, Lord, that you'd help this time to be a blessing, Lord, and an encouragement to all of us. Ask, Lord, now for your help. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple of questions I want you to ask yourself. One, am I listening to God? Two, am I trusting God? And I guess the third question is, am I obeying God? There's times, like Gideon, we want to make sure of something. We want to make sure we're in the will of God and we're doing what he wants us to do. Are we trusting God with what he wants to do with us? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Trust in the Lord with part of your heart? No. All of thy heart. All of thy heart. Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Faith. How many times do I need to be told? Was the question I asked myself a couple of years ago now. December 2019. Before we were doing deputation, we were praying about going to East Timor, if the Lord would have us go straight there, or if he wanted us to do deputation. And so we were praying about that. And at the time, I was reading through the book of Esther, and the Lord prompted me to send out letters to churches and to see if there'd be a response. And if they wanted me to come and present the ministry, then I'd know that we were to be doing deputation. And if not, then the Lord just wanted us to go straight to East Timor. And at that stage we were praying, and we just said to the Lord, "Lord, if you want us to do deputation, churches will start contacting us regardless of the letters going out." And it wasn't long, it was within the week, that we had a phone call from a pastor in Townsville asking us to come and present the ministry in the first week of February. And so at this stage I was thinking, okay, Lord, we're going to be doing deputation. And I thought, oh, you know, that might be just a once-off. It's not a far drive to Townsville. And so we put the fleece out there again. And we said, Lord, if another church contacts us, we'll know that we're doing to do deputation. And at that time, we had a phone call from Pastor Dave Onus. And he was asking us to fill the pulpit there in January at Mackay. And if you know your geography of Queensland, which you probably don't, but Mackay is actually further south than Townsville. So we're going to be in Mackay in January, and then we're heading back towards home in February, which is the wrong way to do deputation. Every church is south of us. So I said, Lord, just make it clear to us. And then we had a phone call from our pastor in Sunshine Coast and asked us to come and present in February. And so at that point, I knew that we're going on deputation. It says, okay, Lord, I get the point. But, you know, I just felt real slow. I thought, boy, I'm thick. How long did it take me to get that? And you look back, I don't know if you have that same problem, you look back and you see the Lord working here and here and here, and you think, okay, I should have got the point right there. Lord, I've seen what you're doing now. I see what you are doing. So the question we need to ask ourselves, are we listening to God? You know, what's he telling you? He's telling all of us something. All of us. Whether it's in regard to ministry or something about our life that he wants to do with us, to change us, to be more like Christ. He's talking to us all, every single one of us, about something in our life. Whether it's a particular sin in our life that he wants to deal with. And so there's times like Gideon when we want to make sure of something and we put that fleece out there. But I think the case is a lot of the time people are putting the fleece out there because they don't like the answer that they're getting. Maybe they want to make sure they're in the will of God, but I think most of the time people are putting a fleece out there because they don't like the answer they got. And they want to serve God on their terms. Where they want to serve God and not where the Lord wants them to be. And there's a fine line there between trusting God and doubting God. Between obeying God or desiring to be in the will of God and making sure of it. And then quenching the spirit and having a lack of faith, doubting God and not trusting him. When we read through the book of Jeremiah, the prophet tells the people there over and over again what's going to happen, and they don't take heed to the Lord's word. They don't listen, and there's a remnant that's left, and they come to him and say, Jeremiah, whatever the Lord tells us to do, we'll do. And the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah 10 days later, and he says, stay here, serve the Babylonians, don't fear them, and you'll live. But if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. And it's not the answer they wanted. They didn't trust what the Lord was doing with their lives. And so it's not what they wanted to hear, and they didn't obey, and they end up in Egypt and they die there. They didn't trust the Lord. Has God been telling you something? Something in particular, and you're not listening to him. You haven't been heeding the message. Whether it's to go somewhere, or to do a particular ministry, or to get rid of something in your life. Whether it's something you need to separate from so that you separated to Christ more, to God more. Do you trust the Lord? And do you trust that he knows what's best for you? He knows the end from the beginning. And he knows what's best for you. And he wants to make you reflect Christ. And sometimes we have to go through things so that we do that, so that we can reflect Christ. But do you trust what he's doing? I like the verse, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. In John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I like that word here, particularly in the Old Testament, where it's translated here most commonly, which is the word shoma. And that means to hear unto obedience. To hear unto obedience. If you told your children to clean up their room and they didn't do it, you would say, you didn't hear me. If you said, go mow the lawn, and they didn't do it, you'd say, you didn't hear me. And so hearing unto obedience. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his sheep? Because he says, my sheep hear my voice. That means you're going to obey him. That means you're going to follow him. That means he knows you and you know him. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 3, we have three young men that trust the Lord. We can turn that to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 3 and verse, we'll start in verse 16 there. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Actually, we probably should go back. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, these men trusted the Lord with everything. They said, you know, we trust God. He's going to deliver us out of your hand no matter what. Whether we have to go through the fire, he's going to deliver us. They trusted the Lord. Do we trust the Lord with all our heart? All our heart. With what he's doing. Now, if we seek direction from God, he's not going to lead us astray. He's not wicked that he wants to do something evil with us. He's a good God. That's his nature. It's his very nature to do good. James 1:16 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Matthew 7:9-11 says, what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? You know, he wants to give you good things. He desires to do good with you and through you. He wants his name to be glorified through you, and he wants you to reflect Christ. You know, he cares so much for you, he sent his only begotten Son to die in your place. That's how much he loves you. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, humbled himself and put on flesh, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he loves you, because he cares for you. If he cares for you that much, that he'd die in your place, surely he cares for you to give you and do other things through you, do other things for you. Are we listening to God and are we trusting God? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Chapter 4, sorry. Exodus chapter 4. I think this is a beautiful passage in Exodus chapter 4 of trusting and obedience. Trust and obedience. So Moses in chapter 3, he sees the burning bush and he says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And he goes to the mountain. God tells him to take off his shoes and God speaks to him and out of the bush and says, you will be the spokesman for, and you will lead the people of Israel out of the nation, and he's going to give him Moses signs to show to the Israelites that the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, their fathers, has spoken to Moses. And so in Exodus 4 here, we have those signs. So if we start in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Here, so we see, you know, he trusted the Lord. He was obedient. We can see he trusted the Lord because he was obedient, because he did what he was told. You know, just taking a snake by the tail, you'd have to be trusting the Lord to do that. I'm sure when his hand was leprous and he was thinking, am I putting this back into my chest? My whole body's going to become leprous. But he trusted the Lord and he did it. But what strikes me about this is his obedience. And he says, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord. When he says, take off thy shoes or cast down the rod. And he says, yes, Lord. And he doesn't verbally say, yes, Lord, but his actions say, yes, Lord. And that shows his obedience. And the question we ask ourselves, are we obedient? Do we know how to say, yes, Lord? Do we know how to say yes, Lord, when he says, go give that person a tract? Or give that person a phone call, they need some encouragement today? Or be in church more? Or go mow that person's lawn? Do we know how to say yes, Lord, just to the simple things that the Lord gives us? To the simple things. Cook somebody breakfast. Let's read on in Exodus chapter 4, starting from verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither here nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf? or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So right here, I want you to think of that. Moses has just said, yes, Lord, every time. When he said, cast that rod to the ground. Yes, Lord. Put your hand into your bosom. Yes, Lord. He's just said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'll do those things. And then when God says, you're the spokesman, he says, no, not me. Someone else. Use someone else, Lord. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of tongue, slow of speech. You think of that. Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's household. He had the best training in the world. He probably could speak very well. Very well. But Moses says, no, Lord. He says, no, Lord. He's come to a point. He said, I can do those things. I can do those things. I can trust you with those things, Lord, but not with this. Not with this. I can't trust you with this. And he says, use someone else. And I believe Moses misses out on a blessing there. I really do. I think you'll all agree with me that we've done this, that we've all said no, Lord. I'll give you an example in my life. At our market ministry in Melinda, I stand at the gates, hand out tracts, and the Lord will lay someone on my heart that I see, and the Lord will say, you know, that person needs a tract. Make sure they get a tract. Okay, Lord. And so as they're coming past, I offer them a tract. And then right when they're there, the Lord says, say something to them. I say, oh, but not me. Someone else, Lord. I'm slow of tongue. I'm slow of speech. What would I say? And my hesitation, I hesitate, and then the opportunity's gone. They've walked past me. I've missed that opportunity. My hesitation is the same as saying, no, Lord. I don't know if you've thought about that, but my hesitation, right at that point, when the Lord says, say something to them, and I don't, I'm not trusting the Lord. I'm not trusting that he will put the words in my mouth. I'm not trusting in his strength. I'm not resting in him, in his strength. I'm grieving the Spirit. I'm denying him working through me. And at that point, when I hesitate, I'm not trusting God. You think of how many times you've hesitated. And that's no, Lord. No, Lord, use someone else. Use someone else. You know, and sometimes the Lord is very gracious. And I'll get opportunity as they come out of the markets to talk to them. But sometimes I just miss out. I miss that blessing, that opportunity to witness to them. God will only use you as much as your obedience. And if you're not trusting God, you won't obey. So do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? I believe we live in a very privileged country. I think we've got a good healthcare system. I think we live in the best country in the world. It's because it's built on, the foundation was built on God's word. We have so many privileges. Even though our country is spiraling into wickedness, we have such privileges in this country. And we're privileged because we can serve the one true living God. That's a great privilege, a freedom that many countries don't have. You think of the people in China. They don't have that freedom. Underground churches. And we're privileged because we can carry the gospel message. You know, God chooses to use men and women. You know, he could choose to put a dazzling display in the night sky every night of the Calvary, of the crucifixion. He could use the stars and move them around and put a movie up in the sky every night if he chose to and play it over and over again. But he chooses to use people, chooses to use men. And we're privileged to carry that message. And I don't know if you've thought about how valuable that message is. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" And that message that we have, that message that God has allowed us to carry, can lead a person to Christ, whereby they can find eternal life, where they can get saved, where they can trust Him, trust the Lord and be saved. And you know, we're privileged when we do that, when we say, "Yes, Lord, I'll share that message. Yes, Lord, I'll share that message." It's only little steps, but the Lord only gives us often the very next step, the very next thing we're to do. And it only starts with small steps. We started going to Grace Baptist Church 5 years ago, and the Lord said, "You need to get saved." We went for the kids. We went because we wanted our kids to have more morals. We thought we were okay. And the Lord said, "No, you need to be saved. You're a sinner going to hell." And the Lord said, "You need to be saved." I said, "Okay, Lord, save us." And then He gives us little steps. We'd stopped drinking, but we had alcohol in the house, and the Lord said, "You need to get rid of that." And so we did. The Lord spoke to me in particular about football, sport in general, but particularly football. It was my idol. I loved it. I could sit and watch any sport just about all day, any day, if I had the time, if I was able. And the Lord said, "You're wasting your time." I'd sit down on Friday nights and watch 2 hours of football. "That's a waste of time." He said, "You know, you could spend 2 hours reading my word." And so the Lord said, "Get rid of it." And we got rid of our whole TV. It's a blessing. Best thing we ever did. He said, "You need to be giving to the church." He said, "You need to be on the cleaning roster of the church. You need to be on the mowing roster of the church. You need to be baptized. You need to become members." And it was all these little steps the Lord used just to see if we were going to be obedient. Are we going to be obedient in this? Are we going to get rid of this thing in our life that's hindering Him from working in us, hindering us from reflecting Christ more in our life? Are we going to get rid of this? Are we going to do this and show our obedience unto Him? Do we trust Him in this thing? I think the biggest thing I had to trust the Lord in was leaving the farm. All I ever wanted to do was be a farmer. I loved it. First thing, that's all I ever wanted to do. I didn't want to get a trade. I didn't want to do anything else. I just wanted to be a farmer. And the Lord graciously let me be that for a number of years. But the Lord said, "You know, do you trust me to serve, to go somewhere else, to leave that, to leave everything you know? I know nothing else other than farming in my life." And the Lord said, "Do you trust me to leave that and do something that I called you to?" That was the biggest step I ever made. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll get rid of that. I trust that you know what's best for me." Have you trusted Him for the most important thing, eternal life? Have you been obedient in that step, in trusting Him, in believing on Christ? But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. You know, God became flesh, dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And he died in our place, bore our sins, because he loves us. Have you trusted in him? Have you trusted in his finished work? Have you said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner that needs saving. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. It's not just one big step. It's just a lot of little steps. The Christian race is not about the fastest. It's about being faithful. It's about putting the next foot out and the next step and the next step. And I don't want you to think that I've reached the summit and I'm way up here. I'm a long way from the summit. I'm at the bottom of the mountain like the rest of you. There's times when I still hesitate. And I said, Lord, I know that's I'm saying no. And yet, at times I still do that. God will only use you as much as your obedience. And if we're not trusting God, then we're not going to obey him. Jesus said when the disciples were in the storm heading over to the demonic of Gadarenes, and they were in the storm, he says to them at the end, when he stilled the storm, he says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? What were they trusting in? When he was asleep in the boat and they wake him up, what do they expect him to do? Because they certainly didn't expect the miracle. I think that's obvious by they may have been expecting a miracle, but not that miracle. And I think that's obvious by their words. He said, what manner of man is this that he stills the waves, calms the seas, stops the wind? They weren't expecting that. When they woke him up, were they expecting him to grab a bucket and start bailing? Were they trusting in a bucket? Maybe they were trusting him to grab an oar and help row to sea, for sure. Maybe they expected him to grab a rope and get the sail down or something. What were they trusting in? At least they called on him and said they knew the call on Jesus for help, but what were they expecting him to do? They didn't expect him to do a miracle like that. He says, where is your faith? He says also in that I love that passage, that story, because it's in Matthew, Mark and Luke, and they give you three different sort of little snippets and it's beautiful. Yeah. In one of it says, where is your faith? One of them it says, O ye of little faith. What are we trusting in? What are we trusting in? All right, let's leave it there and I'll hand back to Pastor.